Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined on this fine, well, I don't know if I would call it fine, but on this Wednesday evening by nobody. Raj is out tonight. He, I told him to, you know, not hang out too close to the Lakers because there is a bug going around. He caught it apparently and isn't able to go. Raj wasn't able to go tonight. I am riding solo here, and it's fine because the Lakers got their butts kicked. And I'm not going to be here too long. Do have thoughts, though, on this game. They lost in Memphis by double digits. They were, I would say, competitive in the first half. Were not competitive in the second. Anthony Davis didn't play. He is dealing with that left foot thing that apparently was a thing for him back in the Olympics. I'm going to talk about this roster and why I have been freaking out about it as long as I have been freaking out about it. And then I had mentioned something to Harrison in yesterday's show, just as a thought that crossed my mind while we were talking about this. But, like, you know, the Lakers got their butts kicked tonight by Scottie Pippen Jr. and by Jay Huff, especially Jay Huff. And, you know, there are plenty of other players around the league who spent, you know, who were singled out by the scouting department, but not developed by the Lakers organization, who then go out and, you know, work with more serious organizations and become, you know, better players. And it made me wonder a couple of things and worry about a couple of things. So, you know, not the longest show tonight. Definitely have some thoughts. Might rant, might rave. Who knows? I've definitely been on the verge of ranting and raving for the last 24 hours or so. This might give me that kind of outlet. A quick reminder, though, please do hit subscribe here on YouTube. If you're watching it on Twitter, please head over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge. If you guys are listening to the audio version of the show in the morning, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey because I'm a company man. And then, you know, leave those 5-star reviews. Leave your questions there on iTunes. That stuff helps. Tell your friends that you love the show. Tell your enemies that you hate it. And let's go ahead and dive on in. So the Lakers, you know, they lose this one in not particularly dramatic fashion. The Memphis Grizzlies are, you know, also banged up. It needs to be pointed out. I'll talk about that here in a bit. But the Memphis Grizzlies score 131 points. The Lakers drop 114. So the offense was fine. It's just the defense is just a disaster, as you would expect with Anthony Davis. Matt Moore, I hope you're listening, buddy. it turns out that Anthony Davis is actually pretty good defensively. The Lakers fall to 4-4 on the season. They are officially mediocre after starting the season 3-0. It's just, this is, you know, what Harrison and I talked about, right? Can one panic if you came into the season expecting mediocrity, when 8 games in, the Lakers are the definition of mediocrity? So that's where we find ourselves now. In terms of the actual game, LeBron was incredible in this one. 39 points on 24 field goal attempts, 6 of 11 from 3-point range, 3 of 4 from the line, 7 boards, 6 assists, a steal. Did have 5 turnovers, but he was the only guy who was like actually trying to do stuff out there. Austin was really struggled from the floor, but did finish with 19 points, 5 assists and 3 boards, 3 steals for Austin. D'Angelo Russell finished with 12 points in only 22 minutes. So, you know, after all that talk of like, man, D'Lo sure is bought in, he gets, you know, fewer minutes tonight than Dalton Connect, than Gabe Vincent, than even Cam Reddish played more minutes than D'Angelo Russell. Some of that is like the garbage time that was at the end of the game, but D'Lo was not really focused in this one. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a team that had, what did Harrison and I land on, 6 NBA players, and I would say 5 positive impact NBA players. Well, you take out 2 of those players, and that 6 number drops to 4, which means that you started the game with somebody who's a fringe NBA player, if one at all. And then by the time you get to your bench, and let alone any lineups that have any combination of bench players, guess what that's going to look like? So, you know, the Lakers have felt like they were hanging on to a tiger by its tail. Eventually, the tiger realized, oh, that's right, I'm long enough and athletic enough to still do damage to this person hanging on to my tail. And I guess they were hanging on to a grizzly by its tail, which is really tough because grizzlies have that little like nub thing. And eventually the grizzlies turned around and just started mauling the Lakers. Jaren Jackson Jr. was really good in this one. But the biggest stories I thought was or story was Jay Huff. John Morant, I do think like in terms of like the positives from this game, Cam Reddish did play a ton in this one and spent a lot of his time guarding John Morant. I thought he played really, really well. At one point, pissed off Morant enough. Morant actually drew a tech because he and LeBron were going back in one of the more entertaining stretches of the game. But like a lot of that frustration that you sensed from Morant was Cam Reddish, who was a bona fide NBA athlete, getting after it defensively, bothering Morant everywhere on the court. And you know, if you're looking for positives from this one, maybe that would be one of them. A quick reminder though, on the Reddish front, that it started like this last year, and then eventually he lost interest in playing defense. But yeah, I would say like that would be the biggest positive there. The way that LeBron played, I would say, is another positive. And it wasn't just the shot making from LeBron. He and Jaren Jackson were going at it in the post. When LeBron was guarding him defensively, he was working to get a full front on Jaren Jackson Jr. Worked his ass off even when Jaren got the ball. Just basically took Jaren out of the game for those stretches that he was guarding him. Unfortunately, though, there were 4 other guys on the court, and almost far more often than not, the Lakers had breakdowns elsewhere. So it was like, You would be looking at LeBron like working his ass off on Jaren Jackson Jr. And he'd be doing everything he possibly can to compete on in that particular positional battle. And then you would look across, it would just be, you know, D'Angelo Russell just like grabbing a pillow and a blankie and falling asleep defensively, and LeBron's like, well, what the fuck am I doing this over here for? Like, what am I doing over here to get, like, you're over there, like, not paying attention. Meanwhile, I'm over here at 40 years old fighting this, like, mid-20-year-old guy who outweighs me, is bigger than me. I'm doing all of this over here, and you can't even stay in front of Scottie Pippen Jr.? That's all you can do? I'm telling you, if I was LeBron, I would probably fight a couple of the people who are on that on the other side of that court. I'm being told, I'm getting a text. Yeah, look at JJ Redick. This quote after the game, JJ Redick, according to Mike Trudell, LeBron was terrific. He's almost 40 years old. And he played the hardest on our team. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, I guess JJ Redick was asked after the game. This is via Jovan. JJ Redick said D'Angelo Russell only played 22 minutes tonight because of Russell's level of compete and, quote, attention to detail. Said he felt Russell reverted to old habits and Redick wanted to see more of Gabe Vincent out there. So, I mean, look, before the game, you had Redick say that it's not okay that Gabe only takes doesn't take any shots in 18 minutes. That was something Raj and I talked about. Now, after the game, Redick sends a message to D'Angelo Russell, too, saying, like, that isn't okay. And I'll say this, like, whether or not this is going to resonate, like, you know, that's obviously up for debate and something that we'll come back to at a later date. But this is the kind of thing that, like, the front office can't ignore, right? Like, when Darvin was basically giving you soliloquies and the Darvin Hamisms and stuff like that after games, it allowed the front office to basically just kind of write off the roster deficiencies with, like, well, they just didn't quite have it that night, or, well, the other team was just better, or whatever. But if JJ, like, goes out of his way as he has here with his with Gabe Vincent and with D'Angelo Russell and points out how frequently those guys don't have it in one way or the other, it does kind of force the hand of the front office to be like, well, I guess we probably should have given our rookie coach some better players, you know. I think that's like a long-term benefit to what he's doing here. But I think in the short term too, you know, with the way that D'Angelo Russell does fade in and fade out of his how attentive he is defensively and the way that he has played offensively too, he takes some of the dumbest shots and just back-breaking dumb shots too. These step back, I'm not, like, it's one thing if they're heat checks, right? If D'Angelo Russell has it going and he's made a couple shots in a row, then okay, fire away on that step back 27 footer. Like, you've kind of earned it there. D'Lo is a good enough shooter to feel when he has it going and let it rip when he feels like he has it going. But if the first shot that you're taking in basically every game is like an off the dribble contested 3-point jumper, I'm sorry, man. You're just never going to get it. And actually, you know, I think the same can kind of be said about Austin. The difference there is that you can sense that it's Austin taking these shots because it's what the system is demanding and the coaching staff is demanding of Austin. Whereas, like, with D'Lo, it's just like, I haven't shot in a little while. Like, don't mind me, guys. And he lets it fire. And it's maddening to watch. And look, man, this is the one nice thing I told you guys about coming into the season. Redick can be an asshole and he's not going to beat around the bush. And tonight, again, I'm just reading from Jovan's tweet. JJ Redick said D'Angelo Russell only played 22 minutes tonight because of Russell's, quote, level of compete, end quote. And then, quote, again, attention to detail, end quote. Said he felt Russell reverted to old habits and Redick wanted to see more of Gabe Vincent out there. On the Gabe Vincent front, Vincent was a minus 15 in 23 minutes, went 2 of 8 from 3-point range, 1 of 6 from 3-point, or 2 of 8 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3-point range. Did finally get to the free throw line. He made his first free throw of the season. So way to go, Gabe, on that front. But yeah, it's just this game is what it is. You knew as soon as you got word that AD was doubtful and then Rui was also doubtful, you knew that the Lakers were going to struggle in this one because the Grizzlies are already a better team, even when the Lakers are fully healthy. But what I will say is how stark a contrast, between the two teams from a health perspective, like, or the reaction to that health is, and that's what we'll talk about next. So, you know, with you look at Memphis, right? They play this one, Desmond Bane unavailable, Marcus Smart also available. Those are two starters that Memphis, was playing without. They wound up playing 12 people in this one. Now, again, this went to garbage time, so the rotation is extended a little bit further. But eventually, they just wore the Lakers down. And Brandon Clark played 19 minutes in this one, finished a plus 16. So that's a bench player who, you know, when he was in those bench lineups, was absolutely kicking the Lakers' ass. And those bench units were absolutely kicking the Lakers' ass. And like, this is the thing that I was saying back in that preseason game, that I took heat on Twitter for saying, like, I don't think it's good that the Lakers lost by 60 in a preseason game. I don't care who was playing. The Lakers should never look like a mid-tier EuroLeague team when they're playing against a Golden State Warriors team, which, by the way, was playing without Steph that night. So, like, when I was worried about that, one of the main points that I was making was, hey, if the Lakers suffer any injuries whatsoever, some of these guys are going to have to play real minutes. Tonight, the Lakers two-way center, Christian Koloko, gets out there, had some fun moments and stuff like that. You could tell he's getting his legs back under him because he hasn't played basketball in a couple of years. But guess what, dude? You're going to have to rely on somebody who hasn't played basketball in a couple of years. One of the most like worrying moments of the game was when Jackson Hayes went down because Scottie Pippen Jr. flopped and he was holding his knee. And it's like, well, there goes all of the depth. And I don't even want Jackson Hayes out there on the court. He shouldn't be. Dude freaking started while he's in the middle of an investigation because TMZ released a video of him beating his girlfriend at the time. like these are all things, actual sentences that I have to say in regards to this Lakers team. And it's just, it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening that the Lakers would enter an NBA season, a season where you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis coming off of the way that they were playing in the Olympics and the way that they played last season and the number of games that they played last season. The Lakers didn't do shit for the roster this year. Nothing, not a thing. You drafted Dalton Knecht, who was a $20 bill that you picked up because other teams decided that they were a little worried about the guy who's 24 years old going into his rookie season. And you drafted Bronny James to help out LeBron. Other than that, you lost Taurean Prince, you lost Spencer Dinwiddie, and you didn't do anything whatsoever to add a veteran to a team. And you could say, well, maybe they thought that Jared Vanderbilt was going to be the addition. Well, you clearly didn't do your you didn't gather enough intel on that front, because guess what? Today was supposed to be the day we're supposed to get a Jared Vanderbilt update. Did we? Mm-mm, we did not. Gabe Vincent was supposed to be the addition like a big free agent addition because of how little he did for the team last year. Does he look like that? Doesn't to me. He's already been called out by the head coach one time. We can keep on going down this list. Max Christie was supposed to be the big addition to this thing, and his development by this organization was supposed to be this giant leap forward. Well, Max Christie looks like somebody who played for a bad head coach for the first couple of years of his career, and then, you know, played for an organization that didn't take development seriously enough to hire a head trainer until the days before training camp got underway. He looks like somebody who played summer league games for a coach who wound up getting fired right after summer league. He looks like a guy who has talent coming into the league, but is not developing in an organization that continues to fail to develop their young players. And then watch those young players go out and play well for these other teams. Man, it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. And again, like, this is 1 of 82, and it's a game that I knew was going to go the way that it did. But it still bothers me that you know it's going to go that way because the Lakers didn't do anything to reinforce key positions on the roster. Didn't do anything. You couldn't even combine. I know Rob doesn't want to, you know, use draft capital just to get off of contracts. If you had done that, you would have Lonnie Walker right now, and he's a better basketball player than Gabe Vincent. He's a better basketball player than Max Christie. You would have somebody who can get by their guy on their own. You would have athleticism on the perimeter and size on the perimeter. Max Christie's listed at like 6'3", 6'4". I don't believe it for a second. Like, you see him next to like Austin, it's like that guy's like 2-3 inches shorter. But like, this can't be good enough. this can't. Like, we have to ask more of this front office. Just like JJ is calling out the guys that he relies on night by night. He's willing to call them out. He's not going to call out his boss. But this is why I was so hard on them coming off of this offseason. I know people get sick of me talking about the Lakers the way that I talk about them, but the way that they operate isn't good enough. It's not professional. It's not a serious organization. And the sooner that we kind of realize that and recognize that and demand more of it, the sooner that we let it be known anytime that we possibly can that either Rob needs to be better at his job or he needs somebody working side by side with him to make sure some of this stuff doesn't fall through the cracks. Again, Rob is like a lower tier executive in the NBA. Like, I guess it's subjective because it's an opinion of mine, but if you were to like look at the results of various executives all throughout the league, Rob would probably fall well below average, right? Below league average. Normally, the kinds of people who get to hold multiple positions in an organization are the absolute elite basketball thinkers. Like we're talking, and the thing is, those guys choose not to, or those people choose not to, right? Like that's the thing. Is that like if the Rob being okay with being the vice president of basketball operations and the general manager is a red flag. He should be able to go to Genie and be like, hey, look, man, I need help. Like I need a scouting department. I need this. I need that. I need, you know, and part of the reason he continues to be employed is because he doesn't ask more of Genie. He doesn't ask more of the cadre of people above him. And we should. No bullshit. We should. The next thing I want to talk about here is I've already talked about the untenable roster. Like, you know, you guys saw it out there. There's no point in me bringing it up. But again, something that I talked about with Harrison in yesterday's show was this notion of the Lakers scouting department actually being good at their jobs, right? And like, yes, they're going to miss every so often too, but like far more often than not, and like of all of the things in the organization that isn't LeBron and Anthony Davis, the kind of group that I trust the most is the scouting department. And I think like I talk to people around the league and they'll also like say, whatever it is that the Bus Brothers are doing and their team is doing, they seem to be good at least that. The problem is like you can draft those players, but Jalen Rose used to say it all the time where it's like talent isn't enough when you get to the NBA. All of these guys are supremely talented. We're talking about 0.00000001% of humanity gets an NBA roster spot, not even humanity. It's that percentage of people who play basketball get on an NBA roster. So like all of these people, all of these guys who have talent or get to the NBA have talent. But what really matters is the situation that they're drafted into, right? And that's why I'm kind of reluctant to that they're just like cutting bait on Jalen Hood-Schifino. I don't think he clearly hasn't been very good to this point. But like, would it shock any of you to see a former first round pick who played only 21 games before the Lakers decided to not, you know, re-up on his team option? Would it shock any of you to watch that guy go out to, you know, San Antonio or to Atlanta or to any of these organizations that actually develop their youth and then get better? And then the Lakers are like, why did we only use him as an expiring? It's just like we're watching Scottie Pippen Jr., who I thought was like a fine, like he was a good floor general point guard, I thought, in summer league, was at a size deficiency, was at a athleticism deficiency. But for like the way that he plays the game, you don't need a ton of athleticism. All you're doing is getting the offense into its rhythm and into its sets and then not being a liability on defense. And for what Memphis is asking of him, that's perfectly and perfectly fine for SPJ. Jay Huff is a guy who like couldn't get a look at a time when the Lakers have been. How long have the Lakers been looking for a backup for Anthony Davis? Let alone a player who could play alongside AD. They never gave him a look. We never really saw him on the parent team. And now look, it should also be said that he didn't get a look in Denver also, but that's a missed opportunity for them too. And where we kind of watch him tonight, it kind of benefits Memphis that they had the disaster season that they had last year. And you can just kind of try some young guys out and you wind up finding out like, oh, wow, Lakers scouting department wasn't terrible. How about that? Let's develop him. Same goes for Scotty. Well, the scouting department that everybody considers pretty good to like actually legitimately good. They had good instincts on Scotty too. Let's develop him. Meanwhile, the Lakers are like, man, Max Christie might suck after they just paid him. They just gave him a 4-year contract. And the guy is getting like, leapfrogged by Cam and by Dalton and still doesn't have any real understanding, I don't think, of like what role he's supposed to be filling out there. Like what I don't want to see from the Lakers here, on top of everything else that we've talked about here, but what I don't want to see is the Lakers waste the one thing that they are actually good at, which is like scouting incoming NBA talent. You actually are good at that, but you have to take the next step of actually investing into the organization and investing in a brain trust that understands how to develop these guys, having a shooting coach, for example. All of these things, the Lakers could maybe actually invest in those things, and you wouldn't have the Scottie Pippins, you wouldn't have the Jay Huffs go out and be really good elsewhere. Maybe you wouldn't have had to trade so many young talents in the Anthony Davis trade. If you develop Brandon Ingram while he was there, if you better develop Josh Hart and Larry Nance Jr. while they were there, like they had to move all of those guys because by the time that they were getting traded, their value across the league was at a point where it's like everything, it's going to take all of them. But the Lakers, if they would have just developed those guys or invested into development back then when they had that young roster, maybe, just maybe, you wouldn't have had to move all of those guys in that trade. Look, progression is a natural thing. Some of these guys, all of these guys, the longer that you're able to stay in the league and the longer that you kind of hold on to that dream, the higher the likelihood that, you improve enough to give yourself the opportunities that Huff and Pippen Jr. have given to themselves. But at the same time, like the Lakers can't think it's okay that it's like you look across the league and there's all of these impact players that the Lakers just let walk away and have nothing to show for it. Right. And now you're getting ready to potentially do that with Jalen Huchefina, where like best case scenario is that you trade him as an expiring contract. Worst case scenario is that you just lose him for nothing altogether. And that first round pick and the expirings that it could have been paired with were all just assets that go wasted. So hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully they do actually start developing these guys, but just based off of what we've seen from Max Christie so far this year, and frankly, the way that they're asking Austin Reeves to score with his shot selection and trying to fit a square peg into a round hole there, I'm not entirely optimistic that that is something they're going to figure out right now. All right, we do have some super comments here, so I get to play this thing. Hey, these guys lost too, by the way. Good stuff. All right, so the first super comment that I'm seeing here, Justin Tindall, good job, Palinka, for this train wreck of a roster. Bronze 6 of 11 from 3. The rest of the team was 9 for 37. After tonight, Jay Huff is 18 of 34 from 3. Pippen Jr. is 11 and 7 on 50% shooting. I'd rather play JHS than Gabe Vincent. I know I saw people were asking for Olivari. Like I know JHS. It's crazy given how like unhappy JJ has been with a guard on any given night that JHS is like isn't even considered an option with the parent team. And again, it kind of reminds me of Jay Huff, where like the Lakers were desperate for any kind of skilled size, and they just never considered Jay Huff. And hell, like we saw the same thing with Colin Castleton. I believe he's in the Memphis organization on a two-way now. could you imagine if the Lakers, in their search for all of the, you know, for a productive center, just let two of them walk over to Memphis for much of the same reasons? Gosh, what a dark place I'm in right now. The next comment here comes from Justin Tindall again. Isn't Huff what we want? A three-point shooting big to partner with AD, yet we try Hayes with AD and literally have no bench. Hope you're happy, Jeannie and Rob. and then Justin follows that up with, sell the team, Jeannie. You don't want to spend money. I don't think it's a matter of her not wanting to spend money. It's a matter of her having bad instincts because she can't evaluate people beyond they are my friends, they are nice to me, therefore they get to keep their jobs. It's not a matter of like I think if and like this was what drove me so crazy about Caruso was in like the weeks leading up to them letting him walk, all I kept hearing about was how Rob didn't really see Caruso the way that we did, let alone how the analytics kind of the painting that or the portrayal that those analytics painted. You know, so like when Jeannie was like, are you sure we have to spend all of the extra tax money that we'd have to spend on Alex Caruso? It was easy for Rob to be like, no, we can save there. We'll just keep THT and we'll see how that goes. And we saw how it went. So I think at the end of the day, with you know, guys like Huff, guys like SPJ, guys like potentially Colin Castleton and other examples out there. What it all comes down to really is organizational investment. And I guess if you want to say that that's where Jeannie doesn't want to spend money, then like, I think that's a fair criticism. The Lakers are the thinnest front office in the league. They don't have a professional scouting department. They are, you know, the thinnest organization in the league. And, you know, that when you're stretched as thin as the Lakers are with basically every person there, you see things kind of fall through the cracks. And unfortunately, those, you know, players like Scottie Pippen Jr. and Jay Huff fell through the cracks and landed in Memphis and are now two, you know, positive impact NBA players, something that the Lakers desperately need. On a team, by the way, that has a more realistic shot at winning a championship this year. All right. I think that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, everybody, for the super comments as well. Justin, shouts to you for those. We will be back tomorrow evening. I'm working on a guest, but I'm not sure it's going to work out. So if not, then I will be right back here riding solo. Maybe I'll do an additional mailbag because I wind up having to not being able to answer all of the questions that we get on Sundays. So maybe we'll do something like that. We'll figure something out and so on and so forth. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, tell your friends that you love the show, tell your enemies that you hate it, and I will talk to you all later.